This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Last week, negotiators from 11 Pacific Rim countries and the U.S. reached an agreement on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the first big multi-country deal in about a decade. The full text of the agreement will not be available until sometime next month, but details are emerging. Here's some of what we know so far. The TPP countries have agreed to eliminate tariffs on most agricultural trade. On the few products where tariffs will remain, countries have agreed to reductions and, in some important cases, preferential access via tariff rate quotas. For example, Japan, already our top market by value for U.S. beef and pork exports, will eliminate tariffs on 74% of beef product tariffs and 65% of pork product tariffs. Japan also has agreed to a TRQ for rice, which is a pretty big change for a country that historically has resisted rice imports. There are also TRQs for wheat, vegetables, dairy products, and others. On the non-tariff barriers that countries often use to protect their markets, or so-called sanitary and phytosanitary measures, the TPP countries have agreed to apply those measures in a science-based, transparent manner. Transparency also is the word when it comes to biotechnology, with the TPP countries agreeing to be open in their decision-making and timely in authorizing biotech traits. The agreement's recognition of the importance of biotechnology to feeding a growing world sets an important precedent for future trade deals. Of course, any negotiation is about both what you give and what you get. The U.S. also has agreed to open its market by eliminating tariffs on several products, including beef, pork, poultry, fruits and vegetables, grains and others, or by establishing TRQs for products including dairy products and sugar. However, in most cases, U.S. tariffs already are low compared to those in other countries. Still, the question that we have to answer now is whether greater access to markets is worth providing more access to our own. Unlike some groups that have reacted to the TPP without knowing all the details, the American Farm Bureau Federation will analyze the value of the expected increases in exports and imports and make a facts-based determination of whether the TPP is a good deal worthy of our support. When we establish and announce our position, it will be based on a thorough and objective understanding of whether the benefits outweigh any costs. You can count on us to tell it like it is. The EPA's water rule is plugged, a Wall Street Journal editorial points out. Chief Justice John Roberts may have salvaged Obamacare, but lower courts are proving to be more skeptical of executive overreach. Further, according to the WSJ, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals stopped the Environmental Protection Agency's new clean water rule on grounds that it probably exceeds the agency's legal authority. The Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to stop enforcement nationwide of the Waters of the United States rule. In doing so, the Cincinnati-based court recognized that this rule has serious flaws and cannot go forward until the courts have had an opportunity to understand its effects on farmers, ranchers, and landowners of all kinds, according to AFBF President Bob Stallman. The decision expands a stay that a North Dakota judge imposed in August, the day before the rule took effect, and that only applied to 13 states. Last week, the House Committee on Foreign Affairs held a hearing examining foreign food aid. A newly introduced bill, the Global Food Security Act of 2015, proposes changes to the way the United States handles food aid and could move farmers further from the process. Veronica Nye, an AFBF economist, explained Farm Bureau's stance on the bill. She says it's unlikely that this bill will pass, but she thinks it's important to remember that the U.S. will spend $1.36 billion on the Food for Peace program this year and every year until 2018 under the terms of the 2014 Farm Bill. She says that clearly we have a stake in making sure that this money is used effectively and that it helps feed the neediest populations around the world. Illinois Farm Bureau kicked off its centennial celebration during the Farm Progress Show this summer. Some of the activities planned around the year-long celebration include unveiling items from a time capsule seated in 1961, activities at the State Fair, and a 100th birthday party on January 26th at the headquarters office in Bloomington. The American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture and the International Food Information Council Foundation on Wednesday announced the global launch of Bringing Biotechnology to Life, a free educational resource that aims to facilitate learning about agricultural biotechnology and its role in food production. The new curriculum was unveiled at the World Food Prize 2015 Borlaug Dialogue International Symposium. Julie Tesh, Executive Director of the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture, says Bringing Biotechnology to Life is a science-based classroom resource with applicable lessons related to agriculture. This resource is fact and research-based and has been reviewed by an array of scientists, so the science behind it is very sound. Macoupin County Farm Bureau would like to remind you the SMV emblems are specifically designed for slow-moving vehicles and should only be used to mark tractors and farm equipment traveling on public roads. These SMV emblems should not be used to mark mailboxes, fence posts, or other fixed objects. This use is illegal in Illinois and will result in a $75 fine. Please help Illinois farm families and motorists stay safe by avoiding misuse of the SMV emblem. Improper use distorts the true meaning. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.